This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. So thank you for joining us for your news hour. We talk local issues, ideas, institutions, and individuals here at Newsmakers. And today is no exception. There's been a couple of events this week have yet to talk about. Some days I wonder what I'm going to talk about, and some days I wonder how we're going to fit it in. I wish I had 2 hours, and that's going to be one of these days. Let's start with the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and I also want to talk later in the hour about the Fire Foundation, because they had their first fundraiser breakfast this morning, and the work that they're doing is really amazing. So we'll spotlight them a little bit, and then we'll get to complaining about the state of Oregon and how the state of Oregon has left us with just one of three states that is not complying with a identification card in the state that you can use to fly on an airplane and get through TSA. More of that later in the hour. Let's start with Salem Area Chamber of Commerce has a forum lunch, and I've talked about these in the past, and they've got such a nice lineup of speakers, and it's always interesting. And sometimes it's out of Salem interesting, and sometimes it's critical to what's happening right here on the ground in our very community. So the guest on Monday was Sean O'Halloran. And what made him interesting, well, many things make him interesting. He's Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs at Nike. I've heard of that. I've heard of Nike. And he was a Willamette grad, so he has ties to the community and so forth. And Nike, of course, is one of the largest employers in the state and with huge, huge investments. I went, frankly, to the lunch expecting to hear a lot about Nike, what their marketing plans are, what their employment plans are, what their growth expectation is, and maybe some politics, because they do intersect with politics. And Mr. O'Halloran actually talked a lot about his experience in the government. So this is one of those things in our community that is somehow connected to Jerry Frank. And folks, I can't tell you what a great debt of gratitude this community has that could never be repaid to Jerry Frank, because he intersects in so many things. Sean O'Halloran is at one point on staff, of course, for the legislative staff of Senator Mark Hatfield, where Jerry Frank worked, and was chief of staff. And it was Jerry that secured the speaker. Let me give you a little bit of this resume. All right, Sean O'Halloran came to talk to our community. If you missed it, try to hit the next one. He's government and public, global government and public affairs at Nike, but he's also had a similar position at Honeywell International. He's had a director of Washington Affairs at Union Pacific, right? He's also been assistant secretary of transportation. You know when he was doing that? When George Bush was president. So he was part of the George W. Bush administration. And was right there in transportation when 9/11 happened. So 9/11 happened, and he was part of the creation of the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, with all of those lines that we love to go through at the airport. He was part of that. Department of Homeland Security in its earliest, in its earliest stages. And he's served as Senate Appropriations Committee, Oregon Transportation Commission, and right now he's a commissioner at the Port of Portland. So that is quite a resume, and that's the kind of speaker the chamber brought us at the convention center this week. Really interesting. And honestly, I expected to hear a lot of talk about Nike. I had almost no talk about Nike until there were questions. Joining us is Dave Bourne. Welcome back to the studio, Dave.
Thank you very much. I did not speed here. I'm sorry. Just so you know.
As we speak, Dave's nose is growing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
the van doesn't drive that fast.
The speaker for this, there were some things, and of course I got a question in, but it was fascinating to see this man's accomplishments and all the things that he's experienced and how historic it is and the things that he's been in the room when these things happen. Either the creation of Oregon's transportation plan, small little matter, or the creation of the TSA. And it all started, really, I think, when Jerry Frank hired him. He didn't say that, but that's what it sounds like. That's right? What it looks yeah. like. So my question, I had a question about Nike. And my question was, do you feel comfortable talking about Nike's relationship to the state of Oregon, actually the relationship and the tether to the state of Oregon? And should all of us be worried that someday that tether will break?
Yeah, right.
Right. Right. That should be a very, very big concern for any of the lawmakers in the Capitol who want to spend tax dollars mm-hmm. towards their programs, right? Because without Nike, boy, there's a huge void. You want to
totally.
Try to balance a budget now. Try to do it without Nikes and the employment taxes that they create. He had a very good answer. And he just, in effect, said no. We don't need to worry about the tether being broken. These are where the roots are.
It's good to know.
That they have 31,000 people working in the U.S. And I can't remember how many in Oregon, but a lot.
They have just... They're almost completed with the expansion of Nike campus.
Yeah.
And they've built buildings and parking for another 3,000 employees.
Whoa.
And that was a requirement for them to remain in the unincorporated part of Beaverton.
Very interesting.
So right around their entire campus is unincorporated Washington County.
So it's been said, and Phil Knight said it, the only reason Nike is in Oregon is because its owner has webbed feet, right?
Yeah, right.
You've heard that.
Oregon,
so,
right?
And you worry,
Eugene, right?
Someday there will be no Phil Knight. Right?
That's true. There
and
will
then
be.
Do we need to worry that the tether is now broken?
No.
And it really sounded like no. They have investments, obviously, all over the world.
Sure.
And the initial concept, and I wrote this down because I'm like, oh, that's how they were thinking all along, that right here at home we will innovate, we will create, and we will market.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to manufacture in Asia, and we're going to compete in and with Europe.
Nice.
That's the plan. And they continue to do that and execute that. So part of this expansion did come about as a deal with, I think, then-Governor Kitzhaber, because they wanted certainty. And we've talked about this in the past, folks, in the business environment and how disrupting it is and how whatever the opposite of inspiring is, it's a deterrent for businesses to want to invest here if there's not certainty. So mm-hmm. what Nike asked for is, can we be sure that we'll be able to do this in these, you know, under these conditions for a period of time? So that allowed for this massive expansion and a massive number of employees. And so they continue to innovate, create, and market right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're manufacturing in Asia, and they're going to compete with and compete in Europe and, of course, globally.
Have you ever been to the Nike World Campus?
No.
It's awesome.
Never been so yeah. fortunate. So, and he had a lot to say about America, which was nice. He didn't get into controversial topics in that regard. Nobody asked him about Kaepernick, although I was tempted.
You should have.
I only had one question.
Although he probably would have deferred that.
But he was praising, America, and that what a great place it is, and talked about immigration a little bit, and he was polite, and he wasn't, you know, controversial, I don't think, in any means, but he also didn't seem like he was skirting any issues, but he still just made a point that America is still the place. It's still the place that people want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the place that if you're an immigrant or if you're a refugee... And by the way, the chamber will have a forum specifically on refugees in Salem next month. But if you're a refugee, this is the one place where you can just land here with nothing and within one generation start creating substantial assets and wealth. One mm-hmm. generation due to our public education system and taking advantage of that. And you can go from, I don't have a penny and I'm a refugee. And your kids can go to public schools and go to college and get a degree and get a profession and buy a house. One generation. And frankly, most of the world does not see that kind of opportunity.
No, they don't.
So he was praising us for being only 5% of the world population, but 21% of the world economy. We're still the place. Thank you for having said it. One more thing before we take a break. He was talking about the tariffs and how it changes the landscape.
Oh.
He wasn't... it was clear they don't love the tariffs. They don't love how disruptive it is and that it is hurting a continuity of business, and you know, it's just
it adds uncertainty, right?
Yeah, and they do manufacture in Vietnam. Well, here's one thing that was interesting: they manufacture in Vietnam, they manufacture in China, and they manufacture in, I don't want to get it wrong, it was Malaysia or Indonesia or something. Well, they're also separated by product lines. So if they're doing basketball shoes in China, they suddenly have high tariffs, but the shoes coming out of Vietnam do not. Right? So then now you're having product-specific, or I'm sorry, sports-specific product, right, getting hit with tariffs and price increases and things like that. Well, it's true of the basketball shoe, but it's not true of the running shoe kind of thing. That was an interesting dynamic when you talk about manufacturing in Asia and Southeast Asia. And so lastly, it was funny, he says, and this is when you look at your government and you wonder, you know, people could just make a whole career out of getting things up to speed. The tariff bill that's driving these things, the tariff bill that authorizes these actions and a tariff on these goods was passed like in the 40s or 30s, just generations ago. And the goal of this, you ready for this? The goal of the tariffs that these Nike shoes are being subject to was to protect U.S. cobblers against those cheap Italian shoes.
What?
That's how far back it goes.
Wow.
And now, did somebody say cobblers. Cheap Italian shoes? And everyone goes
cobblers.
Running.
Yeah.
Protect U.S. cobblers against cheap Italians. And that's driving public policy now in the age of Nike and globalization marketing, right? All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about Salem Fire Foundation a little bit. I did run into Chief Niblock this morning, and I hope he's listening because he promised to come on the show. But we're going to talk about the Fire Foundation, and then we're going to talk about some more failings of the state of government. All right? The state of Oregon government. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Warren. You are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. In our first segment, we were talking about the Chamber Forum lunch and the guest speaker out of Nike, Sean O'Halloran. If you have an opportunity, go to salemchamber.org and sign up for the rest of the series and see if you can take advantage of some of these great speakers that come to Salem and the SEDCOR one as well. We talked about that earlier in the month. All right, moving on. That refugee thing next month is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
And they pulled that in as a substitute because we had a great speaker lined up that was ended up having a conflict. So refugees in Salem and how that works. Where do they go? How do they integrate? Who takes care of them? Things like that. So this very morning, I was at Roth's Fresh Market meeting rooms in West Salem. And
they have meeting rooms?
Oh, yeah. Very busy meeting rooms. They do the catering there. I've got a number of events. It's really
I bet that's good food.
Nice facility.
Wow.
Yeah. The mayor was there. Mayor Chuck Bennett was there, along with Commissioner Cameron and the police chief. The room was packed.
Nice.
It was packed. Big supporters of the Salem Fire Foundation, of course, Salem Health, and our friends at Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know that, and they were title sponsor of this thing. First ever. So the Salem Fire Foundation, we'll talk about them a little bit more when we get the fire chief on. We've talked about the police foundation. And basically, folks, this is a nonprofit, and its mission is to find ways to raise money to provide our local first responders with equipment or resources that's not in the budget. Right, and just take them to the next level. And we've talked about that with the fire. With the police foundation, the fire foundation. You know, they have a big drive in, and then have had a big drive in Salem to have automatic AEDs,
defibrillators.
Defibrillators in so many places. The public buildings. There's one in each police car, in each fire truck. They're
you
providing.
You never
them.
Know when you'll need them.
Right. So that was big drive this morning's. Pitch was about these things, and they're called pulse points. Pulse points, and it's the next technology to save lives.
Really?
Yeah, and it's they're giving it's let's see, how do I describe this? It's like a half a backboard that you slide under somebody who's had a cardiac arrest.
Okay.
And then there's a strap that goes across that pulls down and makes the pulse like you would if you were performing CPR. And that can continue to do that work while firefighters intubate the victim, while they get an IV in them, get the heart, and get the lungs and the heart pumping blood and oxygenate and all these things. It was really interesting.
That would, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, you see them trading off, right?
Right.
Because you get tired yes. of doing CPR. Right. It could wear you out. Right. Person could die because you give up, because you just are plain wiped out. This thing will continue.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
pretty
it continues,
awesome.
And then they can get to some of these other critical factors. It was really interesting, and you could probably Google the thing and see a video on it. Pulse Point, though, it's called. And they're like $15,000 a piece.
Ooh.
Yeah, and just the straps, which they only use once. They're $100 a piece.
You can only use them once?
The straps, once they've used them on a victim. Yeah, that's what
really?
They say. Replacement, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong about that. They just said the replacement ones were $100. And they have saved two lives already.
Wow.
And they also have this technology so that when this thing is doing its work, they're monitoring the CO2 in the breath, and they know when it's okay and when it's the appropriate time to apply a defibrillator.
Huh.
Because there is a point in a victim's condition in which it's more effective and safer, depending on the CO2 output coming out of the lungs and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It went right over my head.
That's pretty high tech.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That is pretty high tech.
Pretty cool. So let me tell you what the foundation has been doing. They're training. Dave and I, as we get older, we're like, the more people that know CPR, the better around
yes.
here.
Yes. I think we need one for the studio here.
They are training every eighth grader. And they've been doing this for about 5 years. And these funds are provided by, you know, the foundation and cooperation with the school district and of course, performed by the fire department personnel. 15,000 kids. 15,000 kids, 12 to 13 years old. And now they're graduating from high school. So now mm-hmm. they're young adults, which isn't the ones that first went through this program. It takes $45,000 to $50,000 a year to cover the Salem Kaiser School District and getting all of this program done.
That's cheap.
But we're going to have an entire community of adults of people that know how to do this.
If they don't
right?
forget, you know,
yeah.
by high school.
If they don't forget, something will come back to them. So they go into the schools. They're going to do it every year to these eighth graders. And the more people around, and the more people that are saved, just flat out saved. 109,000 people have been trained on CPR and AEDs.
Wow.
109,000 people. They want to train 75%. And I'm sorry, that's their goal in the next 8 years. They want. I mean, when you think of Salem, it was about 160,000, 165,000 people. They want to train 109 or 75% of the population. We'll all know CPR and an AED use.
That's excellent.
All right. There's a big app, folks, if you want to do this. And some people are really big into apps, and some people are really big into public safety and first responders. And if you're into both, folks, you're going to want the Pulse Point app. Pulse Point app. And you can use it to alert fire departments, I believe. You can use it to communicate. You can use it to help you perform CPR and things like that. And you can get actually fire department calls, I think, is what he said on it. So already it's pretty new. Already over 8,000 app users have signed up. They can get CPR alerts and receive them. So Pulse Point. So look for that app on your mobile device.
I bet that's one of those ones, too, where you can sign in and say, I'm a person that's willing to do CPR on somebody.
Yes. And the,
yeah.
Yes. And they also, the AEDs are a big, big deal. They are saved lives.
Sure.
Some of these kids that were trained in eighth grade have saved lives already. How powerful is that? There are people walking around our community that would be in the grave, folks. They'd be in the grave, and their family would be without this relative, this mom, this dad, this brother, this child, without the this program.
Mm-hmm.
It just flat out is saving lives in our community. And I hope they're raising a lot of money this morning. They certainly handed out the cards and gave a good pitch. community friend, Alex Roten, who is on the foundation board, and he's been working this. He's been working this at golf tournaments and things like that for several years. He's tireless. And if you don't know Alex Roten, well, if you do know Alex Roten, you don't forget him. He's got a lot of energy. He's very dynamic. He grabs the microphone. He goes, uh-oh, folks, the salesman. You know, they gave the salesman the mic and,
nice.
And get out your wallets. So thanks for Alex Roten. Ray Sagner, actually, is not a name we talk about a lot, and he's a financial planner. And he's the president of the foundation this year and stepped up to be president.
Wow.
And I'm sure he was glad on how it went. The room was just packed, and hopefully they raised a lot of money. Their goal the next year is to raise enough money to install another 66 AED units throughout the community. And this might be in restaurants. They might be in office buildings. They may be people that, you know, they're not paying for them, but we need them strategically around the community.
Sure.
And the app will actually tell you where the nearest AED is.
See, that's a good thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and Pulse Point. Pulse Point. Look it up. It was the video was pretty amazing. Rialto. I think it was Rialto, California that had the video in their fire department. So here's Chief Niblock. Mike Niblock's been our chief for a while and has been with the department for a long, long time. So they look at statistics. If you have a cardiac event and it's witnessed by somebody who performs CPR and you've got a condition that is defibrillator qualified or whatever, right? In those situations, the national survival rate is about 33%.
Ooh.
In Salem, in our community, it's 46%.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. When more people know how to save lives, more people are acting to save the lives.
I'd rather have a near 50-50 chance of survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
46%.
That's pretty good.
That's a big... Well, it is good. Until you look at Rialto, and the ones that did the video in this Pulse Point... apparatus, and they were like, oh gosh, I didn't write it down. They were like 75%.
That's wow.
It was huge. It was huge because, you know, some people can just are not going to get resurrected, right? Some
yeah.
people are not going to come back to us, but it's huge. So that's a huge gap that the fire chief was saying, we want to close that gap and get a lot closer. It's great that we're so much better than the national average, but we can do better. And they're driven to do so. So good stuff coming out of the Salem Firefighter Breakfast. I'm pretty sure he's got a sore arm because I was twisting the chief's arm to come on the show, talk to us about his department, talk to us about the number of calls that they get in West Salem, what the new fire stations are like versus some of the older ones, and even just what the role is between the fire marshal and the fire chief.
And he wasn't right? free today?
He wasn't free today. He
Gosh.
Was. I said, you don't have to do it, but somebody from your apartment has to do it. And I guess he's been feeling the pressure. So we'll have the chief on. That'll be terrific. We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about how your ID that's in your wallet today will not get you on an airplane a year from today.
That's scary.
It is scary. And why is it that Oregon is in this situation with only two other lonely states?
What?
Stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
You know what I hate, Dave?
Tell me, Brent.
I hate when I talk on and on for about 10 minutes and I keep saying the wrong thing.
Right?
That's just terrible. We got to thank our friend Mary Louise Van Atta for correcting me. I keep mixing up my terminology. It was just this morning and I had not had any coffee when I was scribbling these notes. But
oh,
thank
okay.
you, Mary. Pulse Point is the name of the app that we want you to download. But the name of the machine that's going to save the lives is called an auto pulse machine. When Salem gets them, it'll be the first city in Oregon to have them.
Why didn't they name it the same as the app?
They're not related.
The app? They're not related?
No.
Oh, they should be.
So AutoPulse is the name of the contraption that is going to save our lives when we clutch,
it's a cool one.
Clutch our chest and fall to the ground in downtown Salem. AutoPulse. So hopefully the foundation can fund a lot of those along with the AEDs. And did I give a shout out to Salem Health? Because they're a major sponsor as well. And Ray Sagner, Legacy Group.
Mm-hmm.
It's good guys. Nice to see him up in the front of the room. It's nice to see him taking some leadership. Really good people in our community. For goodness sakes, we could talk every day of the year about another good person that's doing good work in the city of Salem. All right, a lot of other things to talk about before we get to Cowboy Ron.
And Sergeant Mike.
And Sergeant Mike. All right, so the state of Oregon, the U.S. government, actually, in the aftermath of the 9/11 catastrophe, made a new standard and wanted a national standard for identifications to get on common carriers like aircraft that's recognized and has security features and is a national standard, and then told the states to comply. And then 5 or 6 years the state later, the state's still complaining that it's an unfunded mandate and this and so forth. So the Oregon has dragged its feet. And most states now, here we are. And basically, your Oregon ID, if you hand it to TSA next year, next fall, you won't be able to get on an airplane with it.
Remind me again why that they made this change. I mean, why isn't your license good?
Because the federal government has made a standard that has certain security features, right? And it has to all comply nationwide. They have to all have the same features. So there's a uniformity and there's a certain level of security that's harder to counterfeit. It's harder to fake.
Because my wife just got a new license.
Yeah, cool looking, aren't they?
It's very cool looking.
Doesn't comply.
It doesn't comply?
No.
There are so many security features on that thing.
I know.
How is it not comply?
Why do we have a brand new driver's license model that doesn't comply? That's a very good question.
What?
And this is the question I have for the state of Oregon.
Yes.
Where is the leadership? Where's the leadership, folks? Your governor that you keep electing, the governor is the CEO, and this is a big fail.
Wow.
This is a big fail. Salem Reporter, if you want to read about it, it's a great article. It's very balanced, which drives me crazy because I want to rant about it. But I just have a problem with how badly some of these state agencies are run. Right?
How do they have jobs?
I'm dealing right now on a separate matter, different state agency, and emails that go a month without getting returned.
What?
A month. Wow. Anyway, this state agency, right? DMV, Department of Transportation. It's us. It's Oklahoma. It's New Jersey. There's only three states left that do not have the real ID, it's called, compliance IDs. They're gonna do it. You can start getting them next summer.
Next summer.
So you're
right. And they go into effect in fall of 2020.
Yeah. So
They're going to get slammed.
You're going to have to do one of two things. Your wife.
You thought the DMV line was long now. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, don't wait until a week before your international trip to get your passport.
Oh, my goodness.
They're recommending all of us get passports.
What if I don't want one?
Which, by the way, you do want one.
I don't.
Which, by the way, is not cheap. It takes a long time.
Yes.
But your wife, who has a brand new Oregon driver's license,
yes,
with a lot of cool features and everything on it, she's going to need another one next year, or she won't even be able to fly to San Francisco, preferably out of Salem, right, at some point.
What?
Yeah. All of us are going to have to change those out. We're either going to have a passport, or we're all going to have to change our driver's license out between June and October of next year.
So I'm going to have to check mine. I don't think mine expires till 2028.
Well, you're going to want to get a new one.
See,
I need to trade it in for the new one.
See, this is how they get you on the money thing, too. You got to pay for another one. I've already paid for it.
See, and the money thing doesn't even bother me. It's the incompetence of the state government.
That doesn't bother you?
No.
It's my money.
I get that, but it's such, to me, it's a pain. To me, it's the time. Right?
Right.
Like, I'm going to renew next month. And your wife just renewed. I'm going to renew next month. But next summer, I got to get back to the DMV and the long lines because everybody in the states who's going to travel needs to go get a new ID or driver's license.
This is ridiculous.
Why did you not get it done earlier?
Yeah.
They did kind of, ride the coattails on some technology because some of the states that got it done earlier, and then they were able to hire a vendor that had already implemented it in different states, right?
Okay.
So
they
want to say, hey, but we saved some money because blah, blah, blah.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, but there's almost 4 million people in Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
And you saved a little money, but $4 million, you're going to inconvenience 4 million people. I don't know. It's goes back to leadership, folks. It goes back. I go back. I've got issues. I've got PTSD about Kitzhaber's first term. Wait, how do you keep electing people that do not know how to lead, that do not know how to administer, who do not know how to get things done, right, and do them right? And one of the things that they were saying was that we didn't get it done earlier because they had this antiquated mainframe ODOT computer system. Well, that's because you didn't finish the ones you were doing in 1995.
Right.
Because, and we've told the story, it's worth telling. The consultant who was working for ODOT on this modernization was reporting to an interim person who reported to an interim person who reported to the head of ODOT, who was an interim person who reported to the governor, and nobody made decisions, and the thing spiraled out of control. It was crazy. It was that bad then, never got better. They didn't bite the bullet and get it done, so they're stuck in this old mainframe situation, and then they have to modernize again 15 years later. And now here we are, all of us sitting here going, what do you mean I have to go to DMV along with millions of other Oregonians next summer to trade out a perfectly good driver's license?
Right.
And, you know, we are going to have to do our pictures, people.
Right.
You know, those of you who are sitting around with an 8-year-old picture and you kind of like it. You're like, oh, well,
I look good.
That's like 8 years ago and 30 pounds ago. Wow. I'm going to keep, can I keep the picture?
And my hair was darker.
And you probably had more of it.
Yes.
Just like, okay, I'll trade it in for a real ID, but I want kind of a fakey picture, please.
Yeah, I want to use this picture and put it on the real ID. You know, have you seen the computer system they use?
No.
At the DMV? It's like DOS.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's like DOS. Scary?
So this, that's scary.
It is.
The Real ID Act was passed in 2005. There's recommendations from the 9/11 Commission.
What?
Right, yeah. 2005.
Okay, it's taken them over 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
To convert?
Yeah, and they frankly told the federal government, said, no, we're not doing this. And a lot of states did, to be fair to Oregon. A lot of states did. Said, hey, you know, where's the money?
Yeah, right.
You know, hey, yeah, would you embark on this how many gazillion dollar project? You're going to have to. Here's your mandate from the feds. And none of us like that. And cities don't like it when state does it to them. And I get that. They gave an artificial timeline and no money.
Still no excuse.
Yeah. So in the article in Salem Reporter, it refers to ODOT system running on millions of lines of primitive code inside an old mainframe computer.
Told you. DOS.
It is simply incompatible with modern technology.
Yes.
Wow.
It's serious.
Yeah. And I remember doing, I don't even know what it was. It was moving or a driver's license or registering a car. And I was really surprised because they were talking about this in 95-ish, right, mid-90s, the one and done. So if somebody, you empower somebody to make the change, Dave Bourne's changed his address, mm-hmm, and then it goes on to your driver's license. You get a mail, an address sticker, your registration. You get a registration.
I have
update,
to change that yet.
And all of these things.
You have to like change them twice.
One and done. Yeah,
it's not like, one and done, though.
No. No. And I'm sorry.
Because I recently did that.
Oregonians, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I mean, they're probably not listening to the show. So stop electing people who are competent leaders. Stop it. Just stop. Incompetent leaders. Could we just run, you know, somebody? Maybe they don't have a really good personality. Maybe you don't want to have a beer with them, but they can run a corporation. Let's hire one of those to be our governor, huh?
I'm sure there's a lot of CEOs that are out of work that, you know, could do it better.
Maybe we can get Bud Pierce to run again. Oh, Bud. Dr. Bud Pierce.
We asked him that question. He said no.
He said no, unless the state was truly ready, was fed up, and was ready for a change. I just don't know how bad it needs to be, folks. We're going to have to take a break. But I don't know how bad a CEO of our state has to be before people will check a different box.
Yeah, we should ask Bud, how bad does it have to be, Bud?
I mean, how bad? I mean,
Or it
has to be bad enough. I mean, they reelected John Kitzhaber after they knew he was corrupt.
Yeah.
They reelected him.
That's pretty
bad.
And
then he embroiled in controversy, and they still checked the box because it's their box.
Yeah.
How bad does someone have to be after complete fail, right, with the Medicaid computer system, complete fail with the ODA, complete fail with the technology centers and all these things. Just a terrible, I mean, might be a good human being, but I don't know, but a terrible CEO, and they reelected him.
Yeah.
That's where you want to lose all hope. All right, folks, be sure to put on your calendar to get a new driver's license next summer.
Yeah, get it before then, actually.
All right,
hopefully.
Going to take a break. We're going to bring back in for our once-a-week conversation with Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron. And Cowboy Ron never comes in here and doesn't say something that makes me laugh.
He comes in loaded.
Yeah. Comes in loaded. Okay, I like it. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Speaking of Green Acres Landscape, I did run into Rich Gansky, and we hear his commercials here on KYKN, and I've been asking him to come on the show.
I got him coming up.
And Dave Bourne says he's got him booked. So that'll be great. Rich is a great guy, and I just want to talk about his industry. Him, his company's growing. The industry's changing. We're talking about different weather patterns. And what are people doing in our industry? And what are people buying from him? And what are asking him to do for them? He does both commercial and residential landscaping and good stuff. But it'll be great to have Green Acres Landscape and Rich Kansky on the show. Welcoming to the studio, Sergeant Mike, welcome.
Hey.
And Cowboy Ron.
Yeah,
you
Cowboy
guys,
Ron.
You come in the room, you're flying in the room, you're all in a tither.
Yeah, I
your
told
feathers
you.
Are all a flutter. What's on your mind?
Well, I tied the horse up outside. So, Sarge, you take off. We got a good one for you today.
Wait. I'm glad you got the horse because then you're not burning carbon. Right,
yeah.
So you're part of the solution. Just make sure your horse doesn't toot any, because then he's dropping some carbon too.
Well, you know, God got involved with that green a long time ago, because horses are very, very compatible with human beings. You know, you tie them up on the side of the streets, and their waste isn't too. We can tolerate it.
I'm just glad you're not clogging the streets with your fossil fuel burning vehicle.
Oh, I tell you, you don't want that.
Hit it, Sarge.
Listen. What's burr under my saddle this week is this Representative Tlaib from Michigan has come out and said, you know what, we need to find a way to put people in jail that don't respond to our subpoenas. And a couple of her comments were, we as Democrats are in uncharted territory. We have had serious discussions about doing just that for those who defy congressional subpoenas. If we were to detain someone, where they would go and have them detained so they can comply with the subpoenas. Tlaib is one of the first two Muslim women. Oh, well, how did they get in? Elected to Congress in 2018. And she just continues to say, how can we get people and put them in jail for not doing what we, the Congress, says? Now, that's Chairman Mao stuff. That's KGB stuff.
You know, I think, Sarge, you're right on. I think, you know, we've got laws that back this up now. And why would this young lady want to start a KGB force that comes in at midnight and picks you out of the house and drags you off and puts you in some detention center or whatever?
Well, as long as they don't put to the detention center, though, we've got the illegal immigrants in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
That would be inhumane.
Well, that's our next subject. That's going to take about 2 hours.
Yeah, well, why don't you take off on that, sir? Why don't you go ahead?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. instead of talking about all this, I want to read you guys something. I want you to focus on the good, and then we'll go back to the bad again. President Trump and his House conservatives have made unbelievable progress and followed through with their promise to the American people. And I look back when President Trump was sworn in, and the look on Obama's face when Trump says, no, we're not going to do any more of that. More than 6 million jobs have been created since 2016. Americans is standing up to China, is standing up to all the countries, even Japan, with our trade issues. The bad news is that the Democrats have tried to do everything that the Republicans have done good and said that we're not doing anything good. And they've gone after poor Mr. Trump. And they haven't done their job for 2.5-3 years now. And then we get into the Democrats with their Green Deal, the Green Deal and socialized medicine. Both of those things are going to break the economy of one great nation. It's so unfortunate when I see this young lady and up there shooting
she's
off.
She's not
her,
a lady.
Well, I got to, you know.
No, you don't.
Well,
she's a hog. She's a hog.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch. Oh, yeah.
Okay, fighting words.
Can I go for it? Okay. So anyway, I would be kind of curious to see who is funding her. Now, I know I've done some background research here, which is pretty tough for an old cowboy from Santa Morgan. The George Soros is funding these demos in
yes.
Congress, pouring money in with his green ideas and his socialistic ideas. And we're getting kind of influenced by it, or we're becoming aware of it. I just hope that the American people will look at what the Democrats are doing now, nothing except complain about a great president that's changed the country, and our economy is the best it's been in years. And I want to also state that this young lady should realize that
she's a hog. She is young lady.
Okay, the hog. Then she should realize that Trump is cleaning up Obama's 8-year mess.
Yes.
And he's been over there saying, okay, we can do this, do that. Well, poor old Mr. Trump goes in there and says no. And every time he says no, somebody says, well, we got to get him out of there.
That's so right. You two are the founding members of Representative Tlaib's fan club, right? So you get
Representative
me.
Who? Tlaib?
Yes. You're her fan club members.
Yes.
Obviously, very supportive of.
You bet.
She's not that bad. I mean, she really wants to scoop up people and detain them. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Pick them up. Yeah.
I'll leave this with you.
Okay.
She also has, you know, the little red book from Chairman Mao. We lived through all that stuff. And I mean, millions of people got killed. They just disappeared.
Oh, my God, yes. Now, you guys got to realize, I know we're running out of time, but you watch these debates coming up. This is going to be the biggest rodeo you've ever seen in your life. There's going to be bloodshed.
All right. Thanks, Governor. We're going to cut you off right there. We're going to go. That's the end of our Newsmakers. But thanks for your impassioned talk today.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Tomorrow, there's going to be more of Newsmakers. So join Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.